Thank you, Dan.
Let's pray, and then we'll continue. Father in heaven, we do pray. I pray that, Lord, you'll be with us tonight. We ask that you will have your Spirit here amongst us, and he will illuminate us, lead us into all truth, and that, Father, we will only know what you want. Excuse me if I go beyond your thoughts. But Lord, I do pray that, Father, you would give wisdom to each soul here and a willingness to consider these things and then seek your face. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning, I trust you have discovered if in your music repertoire there is some form of rock music where there is a backbeat to it, or if there isn't. And the question you may ask then, if you do discover that there is rock music, well, is it wrong? Is there anything wrong with having a backbeat? And that is a very good question to ask, and one that I believe needs to be answered. Now, tonight I am not going to try and look at all the technical things about music. I would only be pretending I know what I'm talking about, but I wouldn't have a clue because I'm not that technical in music. And I've heard many a people talk about in the scriptures how they need, we learn how there needs to be, there's the kind of remember them now, melody, the harmony and the rhythm and in the right order and all those things. And I don't disregard any of that, but I want to look at rock music through the lens of God's Word. That's basically how I want to do it. And so we do know what Jesus said when we're looking at, is there anything wrong with a rock beat? He didn't say that. Jesus said, even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. And so Jesus said, you're going to be able to see if something is good in the sight of God, or if it's evil in the sight of God, by the fruit it produces. And that can apply to every area of our life. But tonight we're going to apply it to music. And I'll be up front. My conclusion is that when you look at the evidence, it's easy to see that rock music produces evil fruit. That's my conclusion. Now, you have to come to that conclusion yourself because you have to give an answer to God for these things. And so it's no point me trying to force it on you and make you just say what I want you to say. You have to come to that with a true, sincere conviction within your own heart, or it means nothing. But I'm going to try and consider the evidence from God's Word in regards to that. Now, Galatians 5 tells us what the fruit of the flesh is, meaning evil, and what the fruit of the Spirit is. And I'll read that. It says there in Galatians, now the works of the flesh are manifested, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That's pretty serious. Someone lives in these ways in the flesh, they are not born again, and they're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. So, if we're to put these works of the flesh in categories for the sake of music and what relates to music, there are three main categories that we come up with. There is adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. And so we can turn, the overall term is immorality. Immorality is a fruit of the flesh. Wherever you see immorality, there that is fleshly by nature. As well as that, the other one is idolatry and witchcraft. understand that the occult is a product of the flesh. It is fleshly in nature. It is opposed to God. And then the third one, witchcraft. When it talks about witchcraft, if you may not know that the Greek word is pharmakia, where we get our word pharmacy from. And so it's to do with drugs as well. Witchcraft and drugs go hand in hand. I've known of those that have been involved in the occult, and they will say that when you are involved in your seances and ceremonies, there is a lot of drugs involved and drunkenness, and that's how you can commune with the evil spirits or the spirits. And so it's involved with that. But if we want to put it into a category, there is drugs, drunkenness, and revelings. These are the works of the flesh, drugs. And so we have these three. And what I'd like to show you tonight is those who are in the rock music industry not only live like this personally, the music itself is immersed in these three things as well. It promotes a fleshly life, and it goes hand in hand with rock music, this type of fleshly life. I haven't read of any rock musician who's denied the saying drugs, sex, and rock and roll. I've never heard anywhere, oh, no, those first two don't go with rock and roll. They all know it does. They go hand in hand. Yet too many Christians want to get rid of the first two and just say we can have rock and roll without the drugs and the sex, and it's okay. Rock and roll's okay. And they don't want to accept that they all go together and they are all workings of the flesh. And what I want to remind you, first of all, is what God said about the flesh and fleshly things when, as a responsibility for believers who want to please the Lord. We're told, it says, mortify, that is, put to death, get rid of out of your life, don't allow it to live and reign in your life. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence and covetousness, which is idolatry. These are workings of the flesh. God says, you need to get it out of your life. Any of this stuff. Workings of the flesh. For which, verse 6, things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. And so God's anger is upon those who live in a life of immorality and drug use and the occult. And he goes on, in which ye also walked some time when you lived in them. And so it's saying this was a thing of the past for a Christian. And so these things that are of the flesh, when it involves immorality and the occult and drunkenness and drugs, that should be a thing of the past for a believer, because it is to be mortified. So I'd like to put this question to you first. If the fruit of rock music is immorality, witchcraft, and drugs, are you willing to mortify it out of your life? That's the question. If it can be seen that the fruit from this music produces these fleshly works, are you willing to obey God and mortify it out of your life and get rid of it? And so, is rock music fleshly? Well, the reality is no amount of words are going to change what the music is like. And so, let's have a look and see if we can see the fruit of the flesh or the fruit of the spirit in rock music. Now, the first one I'm not going to spend really any time with, and that is drugs. In regards to rock music, every rock musician that we look at, they have openly testified that they get drunk or they take drugs, they're not hiding the fact. But on the other hand, you could have Mozart and Beethoven and all those, and they could have been drug takers as well, and that doesn't automatically mean that their music is fleshly also. But we see that it does go hand in hand as we see the drugs, the sex, and rock and roll. Drugs is a very important, when I say an important part, it is saturated with drugs and drunkenness. But more importantly, immorality. Is immorality a fruit of rock music? Now, I could get a list of pastors and well-known Christians who can say that the fruit of rock music is immorality. And the emphasis and of rock and roll promotes erotic movements and behavior, and by its nature, it is immoral, and it should be rejected by Christians. And really, that should be enough argument. If we have wise, aged men and women who are have that holiness of living, if they teach that, that should be enough. But I know as a young man, I would refuse to accept what they have to say. For one, I'd say, well, of course they're going to say that. You know, that's what they always say. And then I would have thought, but they don't really know what they're talking about, because I'm much wiser as a 16-year-old than these godly men, God-fearing men. All right, so I wouldn't have listened to that. And so what I want to do tonight is not quote one Christian. The only people I'm going to quote are unsaved people who are in the rock and roll industry. These are the rock stars that millions of people listen to and idolize. They know what they're saying. They are the masters of rock and roll. And so to reject what they're saying is really just refusing to accept the truth, I believe, because you want to keep listening to the music that you have. And what I've discovered in my research is when you listen to very successful rock and roll artists, they are well aware that their music is sensual and immoral in nature. They're very well aware of that. In fact, in my studies, the only people I have found who deny that are Christian rock and roll artists who want to keep playing it or listening to it. It does remind me of in Romans when it says, they knew God, but their hearts were darkened, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And there are many who have allowed the flesh to darken their soul and have become very foolish in this area of music. Too many Christians don't want to listen to even what those who are in the industry well before they came on the scene have to say. The unsaved rock musicians have no problem confirming that the fruit of their music is immorality and the occult. Also, what I've done is I've made it a point to stay away from using quotes and examples from heavy metal bands, all right? They are a very easy target. They look satanic, they act satanic, they promote Satanism and immorality. I could fill the night with their quotes. But don't accuse me of saying, yeah, but you were just bringing out the really bad rock bands and quoting from them. No, these are, as we'll hear near the end, these are not very rocky bands, although they are very, very famous and had a huge influence on rock music. Now, just one little point before we look at some quotes. There is one word that I have changed in all of their quotes. Because of the children present particularly, I don't want to be saying one word particularly over and over again, and so I've changed it to immorality. And so, because that is what they are talking about when they mention this, all right? So they're referring to immoral activities. And so let's have a look at what the rock musicians. And if you're a younger person and you don't know any of these people, it just shows how ignorant you really are about rock music and how you really need to research it a lot more before you come to a conclusion in your own heart. It's like, as I said this morning, saying, well, I'm an expert on cricket, but you've never heard of Don Bradman, or you've never heard of Dennis Lilly or Rod Marsh or all these other people that are very well known. It just shows you don't really know a real lot about music. But these are people that have had a major influence. There's a fellow, I said that the father of rock music is Chuck Berry. They say the king of rock music is Elvis Presley. Well, this fellow said he's the queen of rock music because of his activities. And his name is Little Richard. Now, Little Richard, in 2015... the National Museum of Africa, African American Music, honored Little Richard with a Rhapsody of Rhythm and awards for his pivotal role in the formation of popular music genres, changing American culture significantly. All right? He was very important. And this is what he says about his music. Rock and roll doesn't glorify God. You can't drink out of God's cup and the devil's cup at the same time. I was one of the pioneers of that music, one of the builders. I know what the blocks are made of because I built them. Here's someone that was involved in this, and he says, you can't drink from God's cup and the devil's cup. If you want rock and roll, you're drinking from the devil's cup. It starts. If you've never heard of the Beatles, you really don't know anything about rock music, okay? John Lennon. Rock music has got the same message as before. It is anti-religious, anti-nationalistic, and anti-morality. But now I understand what you have to do. You have to put the message across with a little honey on it. He understood it is anti-morality. No morals. He says, the great strength of rock and roll lies in its beat. What about Larry Norman? Give me a song that has a beat. Well, the great strength of rock and roll lies in its beat. It is music which is basically immoral, unpuritan, and a threat to established patterns and values. He says it. He knew it back then in the 60s. If you haven't heard of the Rolling Stones, you don't know much either about rock music. Mick Jagger, the singer of the Rolling Stones. Of course I do occasionally arouse primitive instincts, but I mean, most men can do that. I just happen to be able to do it to several thousand people. It's fun to do that. He says, you start out playing rock and roll so you can have immoral relationships and do drugs. But you end up doing drugs so you can still play rock and roll and have immoral relationships. It is steeped in immorality, their music. Rick James, an American singer, songwriter, multi-instrumentalist and producer. You can't have rock and roll without drugs. You can't have rock and roll without immorality. Frank Zappa, he composed all different types of music. Rock music is immorality. The big beat matches the body's rhythm. And so that beat that we're talking about, that we looked at this morning, it is immorality. Adam Ant, surprisingly I listened to this guy. Pop music revolves around immorality. I believe that if there is anarchy, let's make it immoral anarchy rather than political. Andrew Oldham, manager of the Rolling Stones magazine. Rock music is immorality and you have to hit them, that's the teenagers, in the face with it. Debbie Harris of the rock band Blondie. Rock and roll is immorality, 100% immorality. The main ingredients in rock are immorality and sass. Steve Taylor of Aerosmith. Rock and roll is synonymous with immorality and you can't take that away from it. It just doesn't work. You got rock music, you have immorality. It goes hand in hand. Joan Jett, rock and roll is by its nature so immoral. Girls playing rock and roll is saying to the world, we own our sexuality. John Oates from the rock duo Hall & Oates. Rock and roll, he says it's only 99%, not 100, only 99% immorality. John Bon Jovi, trying to seduce an audience is the basis of rock and roll. And if I may say so, I'm pretty good at it. Robert Palmer, rock and roll aims for liberation and transcendence, eroticizing the spiritual and spiritualizing the erotic, because that is the ecumenical birthright. So I'd say he's a bit of a philosopher, this guy. And if you know Robert Palmer, you know some of the songs he sung. Time magazine, in a sense, all rock is revolutionary. By its very beat and sound, it has always implicitly rejected restraints and has celebrated freedom and sexuality. And so what we see here is rock musicians from the beginning, and as you work your way through, they all say that rock music is about immorality, it is about arousal, seduction, and it doesn't glorify God, and this all stems and comes from the beat of the rock music. And I would like to put to you, these are the works of the flesh. Is the work of the flesh immorality, arousal, seduction? It's not. Yet they say our music produces these sort of things. Why argue against them? And so that's the first thing. Second thing is, fruit of the flesh is idolatry, witchcraft, or the occult. And I'm here to tell you that the occult is a fruit of rock music, or rock music is a fruit of the occult, whichever way you want to put it. Now, before we look at this and look at bands, I want to introduce you to very evil men. Men that have been used by Satan to promote his wickedness and influence millions of people over the past century. The first man, there's a man by the name of Aleister Crowley. If you have never heard of Aleister Crowley, you just don't know a lot about rock music, and you don't know much about the occult either. All right, Aleister Crowley, look at when he was born, 1875. How could someone in 1875 be so wicked? Well, he founded the religion of Thelema, which is to do with Egyptian occult type of things. He was immoral to the core. I can't even tell you the sort of things. He was a drug addict of heroin and different things. He spoke often with spirits that told him what to write. He often practiced immoral satanic rituals. This guy was an evil man. And his writings, he has lots of writings where he has different demons, and they would tell him what to write. And he's got books, you can read his books. I'd probably stay away from them. But he wrote, one of the books he wrote was The Book of the Law. This is for those who want to worship Satan. And in it he states, thou shalt do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. Now, it is really important to understand this. You see, a Satanist doesn't say, you need to worship Satan. That's not how it works. No, a Satanist will say, you just do what you want. Don't worship God, worship yourself. And so if it feels good, you do it. And whenever you can see this sort of teaching or attitude, understand that behind it is Satan. And we hear it a lot today. We hear, it's your body, you can do what you want. All right? Thou shalt do what thou wilt. It's my body, my life, I can live it how you want. If you're a Christian, if you have that attitude, it is satanic by nature to say, I can do whatever I want, I can listen to what I want, go wherever I want. No, a Christian says, God, what do you want me to do? Otherwise, it is satanic by nature. And you'll find that quote, this comes up a lot, all right? So he called himself the Beast, 666. He was branded the most wicked man in the world. These are some of the quotes. I was not content to believe in a personal devil and serve him in the ordinary sense of the word. I wanted to get hold of him personally and become his chief of staff. If one were to take the Bible seriously, one would go mad. But to take the Bible seriously, one must be already mad. Okay? There is no grace, there is no guilt. This is the law. Do what thou wilt. All right? That's what he promoted. Do what you want. Now, another evil man that Satan has used is a man by the name of Anton LaVey. Anton LaVey was born in 1930. He died in 1997. In 1966, he founded the Church of Satan, calling himself its high priest. In 1969, he published the Satanic Bible, in which he sets down the teachings and the rituals if you want to be a good Satanist. Anton LaVey was an admirer of Aleister Crowley, but actually felt that Crowley's disciples weren't wicked enough. I don't know if that's possible, but that's what he believed. Quotes, say unto thine own heart, I am my own redeemer. But look at this. The rule of Satanism is, if it works for you, great. Very similar to do what thou wilt. Just do whatever you want. If it works for you, great. Blessed are those that believe in what is best for them. For never shall their minds be terrorized. Cursed are the lambs of God, for they shall be bled whiter than snow. This guy hated Christians, all right? And he would do anything to destroy the work of Christians. These were two very evil men. And so, they happily served Satan. They did his bidding. And so you would think that if rock music is of the devil, if rock music has a satanic influence, you'd think that these two very satanic men would have had a major part of influencing music in the rock and roll era. And what we find is they did have a major influence over rock and roll bands and also individuals. Not only this, the rock musicians didn't hide it. They weren't making this a secret. They were happily saying, these things that we play, these things are motivated through the power of darkness. It is of the fruit of the flesh, and it is occultish. Only Christians who want to play rock music and listen to it want to deny this. And so what I've done is, there's a list of 10 bands, and what I did was go to Google and write, what are the 10 greatest bands in history? Now, there's different lists, but these are the ones that predominantly come up all the time in it. So these are the top 10 greatest bands in all history that had the greatest influence. If you have not heard of them, you don't know much about rock music. All right, I would sadly have to say I listened to the majority of them in my day. And so what do they have to say? Do we see evidence of the occult in these ones? Well, John Lennon, let's go with the Beatles. The whole Beatle idea was to do what thou wilt, as long as it doesn't hurt anybody. Does that ring a bell with Aleister Crowley? The whole idea of Satanism is do what you want. And that's what he said the whole idea of the Beatles was. Let me go back. One of their albums called Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Heart Club. They had in the middle, they had pictures of various people that they admired the most and had the greatest influence in their life with. And guess who seems to pop up in that list? Aleister Crowley this wicked demonic man who Satan would speak to, and so on. This was one of the men that influenced him the most. And you'll find that Aleister Crowley pops up with all of these guys in one way or another. You cannot say it's not motivated through the power of darkness, not the power of light. The doors. I never liked the doors. They were too soft. But the doors on their album 13, on the back cover, they have a little idol of Aleister Crowley, showing who they admire and they want to worship, this man here. The lead singer, this gentleman, Jim Morrison, was deeply involved in the occult. Morrison married his wife in a wicker wedding, standing in a pentagram and drinking each other's blood. He talks about, in one of his poems, the source of his music. It says, I met the spirit of music. Oh, who's the spirit of their music? Is this the Holy Spirit? An appearance of a devil on a Venice canal, I saw Satan moving beside me, a fleshly shadow of my secret mind running knowing. He said, Satan was the one that was helping me here. So we have Aleister Crowley, and he promotes this. Another one of these top 10 bands is Led Zeppelin and the guitarist Jimmy Page. Now, you might say, I thought you weren't going to use heavy metal. They're not really heavy metal, I'm telling you now, all right? They're not even really rocky, I don't think. But we're told that he bought Aleister Crowley's house. He was so infatuated with him. So he wanted to live in the house where he did all these rituals and satanic things. He says, I feel Aleister Crowley is a misunderstood genius of the 20th century because his whole thing was liberation of person. And so we see this man influencing. We have the Beatles, first of all. We have the Doors. We have Led Zeppelin. In one of their covers on their album, it's inscribed, Do What Thou Wilt. Aleister Crowley's little motto, Satan's motto. We go on, this sort of blends in. There is a short movie called Lucifer Rising, and it's a very strange movie and very eerie, and it was made by a man called Kenneth Anger, and you can Google him, and he raves about how lovely Aleister Crowley is or was and so on. He was a disciple of Aleister Crowley. In his movie, in a mirror, we have here he is, Aleister Crowley, being recognized and so on in that. Now, Jimmy Page of Led Zeppelin did the music for this guy. And in other times, the Rolling Stones did music for some of his film clips. And so this Kenneth Anger was a disciple, and here we have this Aleister Crowley popping up again. Rolling Stones. Under the influence of their girlfriends, Miriam Faithfull and Anita Pallenberg, Mick Jagger and Keith Richards were introduced to Satanism. These two witches, deep in black magic, called on filmmaker Kenneth Anger, himself a disciple of Aleister Crowley, to induct the two stones into the rituals of black magic. And this is a quote from Keith Richards. He says, we receive our songs by inspiration like a seance. And so here we have four of the top 10 bands all saying we have a connection with Aleister Crowley, this very wicked man, and we are demonically motivated. Some of the things with the Rolling Stones, they don't hide it. Their Satanic Majesty Request, that's one of the names of one of their albums. This is one of their songs, Symphony for the Devil. Please allow me to introduce myself. I'm a man of wealth and taste. I've been around for a long, long year, stole many of man's soul and faith. I was round when Jesus Christ had his moment of doubt and pain, made sure that Pilate washed his hands and sealed his fate. Just as every cop is a criminal and all the sinners saints, as heads is tails, just call me Lucifer. They sing this. And people think, there's nothing wrong with the Rolling Stones. And I'm here to tell you, the Rolling Stones weren't that heavy, all right, compared to a lot of the Christian music that's going around. Let's think of Anton LaVey, you know, the man that first started the Satanic Church. You know, it was called the Black House, and it was in California Street, San Francisco in California. And the Eagles, one of the top 10, they have, it's probably, I think, the greatest or one of the top two or three greatest singles of all time, Hotel California. And if you listen to the lyrics, all that he's doing is talking about this black house used to be a hotel, and it's where the first Satanic Church started. And on their album, if you open it up, here are the Eagles with the members of the Hotel California. And it's a little bit dark there up there. But if you have a look there in the shadows, it is confessed that that is Anton LaVey there with that very first time. And so here is the high priest of the Satanic Church talking about Hotel California, and he's there with them. Why would he be there? Well, they profess to being Satanists, the Eagles. Another one of the top 10 is Nirvana, Kurt Cobain. And he was obsessed with Anton LaVey. He wanted him to come and play the cello, of all things, on one of his singles. He says, "I will get stoned and worship Satan." That's what he's quoted as saying. And then, of course, in the top 10 was AC/DC, and it's a very interesting one of their songs, Highway to Hell. It says, "Hey Satan, I'm paying my dues playing in a rock and roll band. Hey mama, look at me, I'm on my way to the promised land, I'm on the highway to hell." So we're paying our dues, Satan, by playing rock and roll. And then the one we looked at this morning, Hell's Bells, where no one's putting up a fight. And I believe these are the words of Satan really coming through whoever wrote that. It says, "You're only young, but you're going to die. I won't take no prisoners. I won't spare no lives. Nobody's putting up a fight. I've got my bell. I'm going to take you to hell. I'm going to get you, Satan, get you." Now, these are the top 10. But, you know, if you look at others that are well known, we see that the occult is all throughout these rock and roll bands. Little Richard, all right, as we saw, he says, "I was directed and commanded by another power, the power of darkness, the power that you've heard so much about, the power that a lot of people don't believe exists, the power of the devil, Satan." He says that from the beginning. Stevie Nicks from Fleetwood Mac is known to openly dedicate her concerts to the witches of the world. Daryl Hall of Hall & Oates, "The main purpose of rock and roll is celebration of self. Do what you want." Says, "I became fascinated with Aleister Crowley." Everyone is fascinated with Aleister Crowley in the rock music, rock world, because his personality was the late 19th century equivalent of mine. A person brought up in a conventionally religious family who did everything he could to outrage the people around him as well as himself. David Bowie. "Rock music has always been the devil's music. I believe rock and roll is dangerous. I feel we're heralding something even darker than ourselves." And it's true. A lot of Satanists will tell you that to herald the demonic beings, there is drugs and rock music, that beat. That's what the whole part of it. He has a song, David Bowie, "Quicksand. I'm closer to the golden dawn, immersed in Crowley's uniform." Here he comes again, Aleister Crowley. And the Golden Dawn was a secret society devoted to the study and practice of the occult, which Aleister Crowley was a part of. And here is David Bowie singing about it. Now, how about someone a little bit more modern? Jay-Z, married to Beyonce. Look at what he has on his shirt. "Do what thou wilt." Aleister Crowley. Why would he have that? Okay, let's even get even more softer. K. Kevin Jonas from the Jonas Brothers. Like, I don't know, I've never really heard him, but he looks sissy. But what does he have on his shirt? Why does he have Aleister Crowley's little emblem there? Why does this evil man of the occult appear throughout the whole time with rock musicians? And I haven't even mentioned people like Black Sabbath, Alice Cooper, Marilyn Manson, Metallica, and all the other guys that are obviously satanic. The music of the people that I've shown you are tame compared to heavy metal stuff, yet they openly say that their music is immoral by nature, and also they're happy to admit that they are influenced by very satanic people. Let's just have a look at two modern people. Do we see the fruit of the Spirit or the fruit of the flesh? Let's have a look at this young, lovely young lady. This is what she's quoted as saying, Miley Cyrus. Jesus is who saved me. He's what keeps me full and whole. Oh, she must be a Christian. But let's have a look at some of the other things she says. There are times in my life where I've had boyfriends and girlfriends. She's known for her bisexual activities. She says, you know you're a stoner when your friends make you a Bob Marley cake. If you don't know Bob Marley, you don't know much about rock music. You know you smoke way too much weed. She says, all I want to do is yoga, and that is steeped in the New Age, and it is very satanic, and don't let anyone convince you otherwise. And hike. Now, hiking's okay. I can't find anything wrong with hiking. All right? And smoking weed. And so here we have someone who is immoral, who is into drugs, and I don't know how far she goes into the yoga, but the occult. Lady Gaga admits to being bisexual. Admits to having a familiar spirit. She says, I'm really connected to my Aunt Joanne. Well, that's nice. And she's not with us anymore. Oh, okay. I'm just really focused on mind, body and soul, and also Joanne. I believe that her spirit is inside of me. So, you know, my closest friends have told me that it was just her way of peeking in and to say hello. And she admits to regularly taking drugs, alcohol and boozing parties. Her life matches her music, the flesh. Just like Miley Cyrus's life matches her music as well. It is fleshly, not godly. Now, I hear people say, well, yeah, the really heavy rock music with a heavy beat is bad. And it's fleshly. But music with a soft beat, just a soft rock beat, like country music and Christian music, well, that's okay. But what I want to show you now is the music of most of the bands that I have quoted from is softer, or at least the same as most of the music that a lot of Christians listen to. The CCM music of today is far more rockier than the quotes of the people that I've shown you. The country music that people listen to, and say, I don't listen to rock music, I listen to country music, it is rockier and it has a heavier beat than what a lot of these people say. Our music is by nature fleshly. That beat promotes immorality and fleshly living and attitude, and it comes from satanic means. Even if soft rock is not bad, which I still think it is, I'll put it to you that most Christians aren't listening to soft rock, even though they may think it. And so the only way that I can do this is to show you or let you hear it. And I want you to compare this music with the music of, first of all, Christian artists of today. And what you'll hear is it's the same, if not worse. And what I've tried to do is I've tried to be fair with the... I've tried to stick to mainly the top 10 artists. And what I've done is looked up their greatest hit. And so this is the one that was the most popular. Now, sometimes I couldn't because it was so soft, I would have been accused of picking a soft one, all right? So I had to go back a little bit and at least get something that's a bit rockier. But I'm not going to say much. I'm just going to play them back and forth, and then I'll say just a couple of things afterwards. And so, is rock music bad? Well, just have a listen to the Beatles. Oh. Have you got that music on? It's not working. This could be a problem. If not, we're going to just stop and we'll do it next week. It's muted somehow by the sounds of it. Oh, well. I'm quite certain it's...
Don't carry the world.
What did we do wrong?
On your shoulder.
Oh, that's scary. Click on that little fella down there, see if that... If not, I'll go through really fast and get to it. Okay. Let's see if we hear it.
Don't carry the world upon your shoulders.
And this is a Christian man, Jeremy... You can't tell me which one's more rocky. This is the Rolling Stones. Chuck Berry, you heard him this morning.
Yes, let me hear some of that rock and roll music. Any old way you choose it. Got a backbeat, you can't lose it. Any old time you use it. Gotta be rock and roll music.
Toby Mac was, I think, nominated as the number one CCM artist for 2009. She's in the top 10 of the world. What I'm putting to you is, if you listen to CCM and you say, I just listen to Christian music, not bad music, when you have a listen to people that happily said, my music is fleshly and it produces immorality, you can't say that the CCM artist of the day is a lot tamer. If anything, it's worse. It has a stronger beat to it than today. Now, others will say, well, no, I listen to country music. But I'm here to show you that country music today is far more rockier than these artists that said our music is satanic and fleshly. Let's have a look at some others. This is the Hotel California. Pink Floyd. So if you listen to those sort of songs and say, I listen to country music, not really bad stuff, I'm here to tell you it is just as bad, just as rocky. The beat is there, probably even more. All right? But the artists of this side say, as David Bowie, rock music is of the devil and is heralding something that we don't even really understand. Now, if you go to some modern, we know Elton John. Well, you may. They're probably the same. And here we go. Little Richard, who said that you can't drink from the cup of the devil and the cup of God. It doesn't work. Rock music, he says, he was influenced by Satan. Now you listen to how wicked his music is. And so, this is the question I'd like to ask you. Can a Christian truly say there is Christian pornography? Of course not. Because pornography is of the flesh, it's immoral. And Jesus said it is a fruit of the flesh. Can a Christian truly say there is Christian occult, where you can have seances and that, but in the name of Christianity? Of course not. These are the works of darkness we're told to stay away from. And so why, when rock artists openly confess that rock music is by its nature immoral, heavily aligned with the occult, do Christians try and say there is Christian rock music? Where we can say it is drugs, sex and rock and roll and Jesus. To me, I think that's blasphemy. It is by nature fleshly. Time has shown it produces the fruit of the flesh. It is not the fruit of the Spirit of God. And so I would commend to you that if we're told, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, we need to mortify this stuff out of our life. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. It is obvious that the world of music is fully into rock music, and because it's fleshly and demonic, here we're told we're not to love the worldly things. And I'm here to put to you that rock music in all its genres is fleshly. The things of the world, we're not to have. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And we'll go a little bit further with this next Sunday morning. So I trust that might at least prompt you to think and go home and pray and ask God what He expects of you. That's all I'm asking. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, in reality, we all have to come to those conclusions of life in every aspect as individuals before you. And Lord, I pray that we would take that seriously in regards to our music, understanding how it can affect our friends, our spouse, if we have one, our children or children of the future, and our church as well. And I pray that, Lord, we would have a genuine desire to do what is right in your eyes. Not the pastor's eyes, not anyone else's eyes, but your eyes. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.